I love this next guest. He's a Chicago guy who never forgets his roots. He's one of the best followers on Instagram, one of the funniest guys on the planet. It's our old friend, Sebastian Maniscalco. How are you, brother?
Oh, good, bro. Just waiting to get back to normal life. This is ridiculous. We got to open it up.
First of all, how is your father? How is your mother? Everyone safe in your family?
Yeah, everybody's safe. You know, everybody's happy, healthy. But yeah, we're climbing the walls. My father hasn't taken this much time off since he came out of the womb. So he's chomping at the bit to get back to work. And I think we all are.
I follow you on Instagram, and I realize that your wife is super funny. She's very funny.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people are noticing that, and she definitely is an added bonus to the Instagram posts. I've always known that my wife had a bit of sarcasm to her and kind of a little twisted sense of humor, but yeah, she is extremely funny, and thank God for her. I mean, she's the positive one in all this. She's always looking at the silver lining in anything, and I'm always looking at it like this is the end of the world.
You've always admitted that you live in the negative, and she lives in the positive.
Oh, totally. But I mean, if we both lived in the negative, forget it. She's kind of the yin to my yang.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been keeping us all sane here because, to be honest with you, for the last, you know, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, it was difficult for me to adjust to this life at home. You know, I'm always on the road making people laugh, and not to have that outlet was a little daunting for me to kind of, you know, be a homebody. What I've learned through all this, though, is definitely, although I'm not a quote-unquote people person, I need a lot of people kind of in my life, family, friends, to make it whole. So I will not take for granted when this thing lifts the relationships I have with my family and friends.
Sebastian, marriages all over the world are being tested during the self-quarantine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, who's, you know, it's like Groundhog Day every day, and, you know, you're bound to get on each other's nerves. This is not something that's natural. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of broken families after this thing.
First of all, I want to mention all the charity work that you've been doing, especially on social media. But first of all, back to your wife for a second. Your wife Lana is a great artist. She's selling her paintings and donating the money to charity.
Yeah, we did an auction for some of her artwork, and it went to the Los Angeles Children's Hospital, which we're very familiar with. Serafina, our daughter, had some respiratory issues when she was one and a half years old, and they did a standout job, and we wanted to give back to the hospital and what they were dealing with this virus. So, yeah, she's got an amazing collection of art. She's super creative. She's one of the most and kind of out-of-the-box thinkers that I know. And, yeah, she's got a lot of irons on the fire. She's the only one making money out of this pandemic.
Well, it's true, because you're not on the road, and that's how you make your coin, right?
Yeah.
We're talking with Sebastian Maniscalco. You also were on, you contributed to the Feeding America Comedy Festival on NBC, which I thought was great, because Feeding America Comedy Festival was on NBC and the Weather Channel.
Well, yeah, I mean, they go hand in hand. feeding people and the weather are just kind of one and the same, so why not? Yeah, we did a pizza challenge. We made pizza on there, and did the all-in challenge, which you know, I'm going to invite somebody to kind of hang out with me for a night and do a joke on stage in front of 20,000 people. So kind of getting my feet wet with a lot of charities and giving back. We just did a virtual dinner online and gave the money to Good Plus Foundation.
Right.
So a lot of stuff that we're kind of doing in the charity of it all. But if this pandemic lasts any longer, I'm going to have to do a charity for myself.
You and me both, buddy. Let me tell you. Did you watch The Last Dance on ESPN?
Best documentary I've ever seen.
The best ever, isn't it? Where were you in 98 during the Bulls' final run?
I was here. I've actually just moved to Los Angeles. I remember exactly where I was. I don't know the name of the bar, but it was out in Malibu. I watched that shot in 98. When they first won in 90, I think it was 91, I was in my buddy Tony Sakala's basement, jumping up and down with his mother. Couldn't believe they won the championship. So brought back so many memories. The Chicago Bulls run in the 90s, is a big reason my father and I are extremely tight. We really bonded over those Bulls games. We're the only family, I think, on the block that didn't have cable. So my father and I had to go to, like, Wellington's and watch the game. We had to go to, like, a bar and watch the game because my dad was too cheap to get cable. So, we definitely bonded over that championship run, and watching that brought back a lot of great memories growing up in Chicago and those Bulls teams. I was really upset at the end when Jordan said that he wanted to go for a seventh run. I think we got deprived of another championship there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at Jordan, and he's still angry to this day that he wanted to come back for that seventh championship.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think they could have won it again. But, they're rebuilding. That's what they've been rebuilding since 98.
Yes, since 90. We got close with Derrick Rose, and then he blew out that knee. Yes, definitely. We're talking with Sebastian Maniscalco. How is the weight, by the way? The quarantine, a lot of people are talking about the 10 pounds that we're all gaining during the self-quarantine. Have you gained any weight?
Yeah, I'm packing it on. I call it the quarantine 15. But I'm definitely gaining weight. That's all I've been doing is eating. I'm cooking. I feel like I'm running a hotel over here. I get up at 5:30 every morning, and I'm making breakfast waiting for the guests to get up. And lunch and dinner and breakfast, the drinking wine, like it's going out of style. So, we're definitely, my wife couldn't gain weight if she tried, but, I'm 46 years old. I have a bowl of pasta. It takes 3.5 weeks to work it off.
That's me. I agree 100%. My wife hasn't gained any weight. I feel like I'm drinking like I'm back in college again, and I'm just putting on the pounds. I'm trying to work out like crazy too.
Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, I remember I used to have a half a pound of pasta before I went to bed when I was 21 years old. I used to burn it off in my sleep. Now it's just, I get up in the morning and my joints are tight. I'm like, did the pasta do this? I mean, it's crazy how food affects you later on in life. But hopefully you're going to get out of this this rut when we get back on the road. When I get on the road, I eat healthy. I don't drink nothing. At home, I'm a slob.
Yeah, because we get comfortable and then we want to eat. We're talking with Sebastian Maniscalco. Sebastian, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll talk a little bit more. With Sebastian Maniscalco coming up next. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios on the phone with us. Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco, who's getting stir crazy. He's ready to get out, right?
Lift the ban and open up the businesses. We need to go out and start working again.
Yes, we definitely
do. Especially in your state over there.
Oh.
I wonder if these governors like have friends, because I know if I was the governor of a state, my buddies would be calling me every day going, bro, open it up already. I mean, do these guys have any friends?
There is a little bit every single day. They announced last week that they're going to open up the patios now so you can eat outside.
Oh, okay. Wow,
yeah, that's during great. During stage three. I mean, so you can eat outside. Well, you can come to Chicago. You love Chicago Cut. You can eat right there on the river.
Yeah, no, I would love a little steak out on the river.
Yeah, now you're talking.
The thing I miss most is just the family. I mean, just my mother came over for the first time last Sunday, and the poor woman brought a garbage bag. She was willing to put a garbage bag over herself just to hug her grandkids.
I go,
this is out of a movie.
Yeah.
You can't even hug the grandkids. You got to put a hefty bag on. I mean, it's just crazy the things that you're seeing out there. And I just wanted to get back to normal. I'm sure that everybody else feels the same way.
Have you done the Zoom meetings? Because I've done it with my family every 2 weeks. I have 11 siblings and my mother, and everybody just talks over each other.
Yeah, we tried that, the Zoom. The Zoom didn't work. My wife's family wanted to try to get 20 people on a Zoom.
What?
My wife's got a huge family. So every day at noon, there was like a 20-person family Zoom if you wanted to hop on. And I'm like, we go out to dinner when there's no pandemic, nobody talks. But all of a sudden, now we're on a Zoom, everybody wants to say something. I mean, it's amazing how Zoom has given people who really didn't have the ability to talk in a normal setting, like somewhat of a platform.
Right.
You know, you got people on Zoom talking, and it's like, bro, you wouldn't have got this type of time if we were out having beers.
No.
So...
And you,
I've given up on Zoom.
Well, how about the Zoom meetings? You'll hear from guys that you went to college with, like, we're going to do a Zoom tonight. And I'm like, no, there's a reason that I don't talk to those guys anymore. I like talking to you, but those other three guys I don't need to talk to.
Yeah, we did a Zoom like that back home. My buddies got on a Zoom, and it was actually pretty fun. We ripped each other to shreds. I mean, it was... you know, especially where people were Zooming, that's always a good, you know, like when you see the, I go, did you want to talk in front of like your laundry room? Why are you in the laundry room? So yeah, it's, but it's so played out. You get more than two or three people on a Zoom. It's not even worth it.
I just don't understand it. By the way, any, other movie deals coming up? I know you want to get back on the road, but you know, you're starting to do movies now.
Yeah, I was involved in this and still am. It's just, I don't know when it's going to start back up again. It's called Spinning Gold. It's basically the story about Casablanca Records in the 70s. And I played Giorgio Moroder, who was the kind of father of disco. He was the one who kind of was credited for discovering Donna Summer. And I was learning a German accent because he was Italian and German, but had a German accent. So I was working with a dialect coach. So
wow,
that's supposed to shoot up in Canada. But, you know, we're still waiting on when we could do that. So, yeah, there's offers coming in here and there. But I just like to do projects that I feel really passionate about. And The Irishman and The Green Book were two of the scripts that I kind of gravitated towards and ended up being Oscar-nominated films. So I only do Oscars or nothing. That's
The Irishman, De Niro, Pesci, Pacino. I mean, when you walk on set, no, you weren't intimidated at all?
Oh, yeah, no, I had anxiety. You know, 3 days prior to going on set with De Niro and Pesci was my first scene in the Copacabana there. So, yeah, I was definitely nervous. But once we did the rehearsal, we were kind of off to the races. And ironically enough, I made friends with a lot of people on that movie after the movie when we did the promo. I got to know Ray Romano really well. We went golfing together. Al Pacino and I have become fast friends. So a lot of the guys on that movie, I actually ended up becoming friends with after we shot it. So, yeah, man, that was a once in a lifetime for me. And, you know, if I die tomorrow, I'd be happy.
I don't think Ray Romano gets enough credit for his acting. You know, he did the sitcom, but he is such a great dramatic actor now. He is so good.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, he does the comedy and drama equally well. And, you know, he's doing a movie that he wrote. So he is a guy that really, really talented and one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. So, yeah, Ray's a big inspiration for me just growing up watching Everybody Loves Raymond, him being Italian, me being Italian. So,
right.
It's a match made in heaven.
Well, you can follow Sebastian on Instagram, Sebastian Comedy. And by the way, I saw a video about the dead hawk in your backyard. I have a great friend who comes on WGN radio with me a lot, psychic Denise Gazzardo. And I sent her a text. I said, hey, Denise, I'm going to talk to Sebastian. He had a dead hawk in his backyard. Did anybody tell you what that meant?
No. Does Denise know what that is?
Yes. She said a hawk.
What is it?
A hawk equals communication, which is emails, phone calls, texts, etc. She says the hawk reminds us to look at the big picture. Somewhere along the line, we can lose sight of the big picture. Get back to looking at the big picture.
Okay, so that took a while, but now I think I am looking at the big picture more than I did pre-hawk.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was something a little bit more sinister than that.
No. Dead birds, everybody thinks you find a dead bird, that means someone's going to die. No, you're good.
All right.
And if you need a psychic reading, I got a guy. I'll send you Denise's number, too. And by the way, we talked about Chicago Cut Steakhouse. The next time you come in, David Plum told me to tell you that he's got a steak ready to go for you.
Yeah, David Plum's been really good to me over the years. I think the last time I saw you was with David in Milwaukee or
Rockford.
Where was that? Was that Milwaukee?
We were in Rockford.
Rockford.
And by the way, David Flom, he is the one that introduced me to you. He went and saw you in New York early on in your career, and he came back to Chicago, and he said, you got to have this guy on your show, and you just happened to be in town, and you came in the studio here at WGN, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, he came to New Jersey, I think, with his brother, saw me at a comedy club there, and then kind of exchanged information and went into Chicago Cut, and he's been a friend ever since. So, David has always been, supportive of my career, coming in to my shows, whether it be in Rockford, Milwaukee, New Jersey, or the United Center, where I was just, I can't believe it was this year. Was
Can
it this
you believe
year?
That?
Especially watching The Last Dance. I'm sitting there watching this thing. I'm like, wow, I played there. I mean, you forget the history sometimes of the United Center. And then you see a thing like The Last Dance. You're like, wow, so many great memories there.
Yeah, I love it. And I love Pat McGann, that you had him open for you. He's one of the funniest guys in Chicago.
Yeah, Pat's outstanding. He's got a special coming out that I produced this year.
Yep.
Across a lot of platforms. So he definitely is one to watch. If you haven't seen him yet, you definitely have to check out Pat. He performs locally there at Zany's Comedy Club and all over the country headlining. And I'd give it 2-3 years, and Pat's going to be someone that a lot more people are going to know about.
I love that you're helping him out. That's awesome. Sebastian, great to talk to you, man. Continued success. And one of these days, we got to get back together.
Yeah, we'll have a steak the next time I'm in Chicago, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I love it. Say hello to your wife.
I will. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Sebastian Maniscalco, everybody.